podcast family. Welcome to Mind of Christ International Church, affectionately known as MOCI Inspirational Podcast. We are located in Alabaster, Alabama. I am Senior Pastor Derek Morissette, serving alongside my fabulous wife, Executive Pastor Trish Morissette. At Mind of Christ, we believe in changing minds, changing lives, and changing destinies. We pray this podcast motivates, inspires, and takes your life to a whole new level in the things of God.
And Pastor D ministered on last week about the power of peace. Did y'all enjoy that? Y'all got something out of that? The power of peace. We've talked about the power of the altar. We've talked about the power of the thorn. And today, I want to talk to you about the power to kill your giants.
Wow. Okay.
So the message that I come to you today is called Kill Your Giant.
Yes.
Hashtag he loud. Hashtag he messing stuff up. Hashtag get him.
Yes.
Okay.
Because when there is a giant, there also has to be boldness.
That's right.
When there is a giant, there also has to be a great fall. Just don't let the great fall be you.
All right.
What exactly is a giant? A giant, if we look at the dictionary, is a person or a thing.
Yeah.
We could pause right there.
Yeah.
A person or a thing of unusually great size. This thing might have unusual power over your life.
Mm. Come on, man.
And it, because of the power, it has become important.
Wow.
Because it has been there for so long, it now becomes who you are. Major figure, it could be a legend. But it is a person or a thing that is big, that has great stature, that has some type of power right now. And we have to recognize that whatever it is, it's time to kill your giant.
Okay. Sure.
Somebody needs to declare in the atmosphere, I'm killing.
Killing.
My giant.
I
gotta say that again. I'm killing
my giant.
Because I gotta kill the thing that brings negative power to my life. I gotta kill the thing that brings negative energy to my life. I gotta kill the thing that's actually trying to kill me. The thing that's trying to take over me. That's trying to take charge of me. Trying to take charge of my life. I gotta kill the thing that is standing in the way of me being better. The thing that's standing in the way of me being wiser. The thing that's standing in the way of me walking in my purpose. I gotta kill the thing. The thing that's staring me in my face and daring me to cross a line. I gotta kill the thing. You know how when you was little, you would dare your cousin or your brother or your sister, I bet you won't cross the line. And sometimes you gotta look at the thing that's daring you to cross over into greatness and tell that thing to get out of the way, because it's daring you to tap into greatness and it's staring you in the face and you looking at it like, should I cross the line? Because I don't know what this giant is going to do. Is the giant going to slap me in my mouth, punch me in the face? Is it going to pull a Mike Tyson on me? Well, he punched me one time and I never got back up.
Come on now, that's good.
So I got to look at the thing that's looking at me and daring me to be greater.
Wow.
Yes, God.
I got to look at the thing that's daring me to walk in my purpose. I got to look at the thing and daring me to walk in another level of who God desires for me to be. I dare somebody to look at the thing. Look at the thing. Because the Lord is saying, I am stirring something up in you. And if you allow a giant to rob you of where I'm taking you, come on somebody. He said, it's time for you to look at the thing.
Yes.
insecurities, your own fears, your own anxieties, your own stress, your own whatever it is. He said, look at the thing, because the thing is daring you to be the man. The thing is daring you to be the woman. The thing is daring you to cross the line to greatness. The thing is the thing. And for everybody, we all got our own quote unquote thing. And it's up to you to realize what your thing is. And to be quite frankly honest with you, is more than one thing for a lot of us. It's the things. And here's the thing about the things. The things don't become different giants. The things become one giant. Because the more things you add to the thing, it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. And now I got stress. Now I got anxiety. Now I got fear. Now I got selfishness. Now I got pride. It has become one big thing. And so we got to say, am I ready to look at the thing that has been, the things that have become one big thing? That's daring me to be who I need to be. Some of us are afraid to cross over the line where the giant is because we don't know what's on the other side. See, here's the thing about complacency. Complacency says, well, you don't have to cross the line because you're okay right here. You ain't got to go to another level for God. What's wrong with what you're doing right now? You ain't got to go. You ain't got to be a better man or a better woman or a better pastor, a better leader, preacher, teacher, whatever it is, husband, wife, because you're okay right here. But God is saying, no, no, no. Look at the thing and cross over, because the thing is going to lead you to the thing if you beat the thing. Oh, my goodness. The thing is going to lead you to the thing or the things if you beat the thing. And God is saying, will somebody rise up in this season so that you can beat the thing?
That's good.
The thing.
Yes.
See, the things have become one big thing. Yes. But you got to identify the things within the one big thing. And I got to give you my core scripture here. I'm going to be coming from 1 Samuel 17 because everybody knows this scripture, but I'm going to read it. I'm going to be jumping through doing double dutch and here and there with it, because there are certain parts of it that I really want you to get. 1 Samuel 17. It says, Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, what do you come out and line up? Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and you serve us. Oh, my goodness. See, here's the thing. I just got to pause for the cause. The giant is saying to David, to the Israelites, he's saying, listen, if you can defeat me, I'm going to surrender to you. Listen, y'all. The giant is looking you in the face and saying, if you can defeat me, I'll surrender to you. But if you don't cross the line to even fight me, he said, you're going to surrender to me. And how long has the giant been saying, if you don't beat me, you're going to surrender to me. If you don't beat me, you're going to surrender to me. If you don't beat me, you're going to surrender to me. And so often when we don't beat the giant and we surrender the giant, we become exactly who the giant wants us to be.
Wow.
When you don't beat the giant and you surrender, you become exactly who the giant wants you to be. You become stressed. You become depressed. You become oppressed. Wow. You become bitter. You become unforgiving. Yeah. You become mean for no reason. Yeah. You become stagnant. Yeah. You become mistrusting. Right. You become an adulterer. You become a liar. You become a cheater. You become a manipulator. Because why? You didn't beat the thing. You surrendered to the thing.
That's all right. That's all right, Pastor.
And the giant is saying, well, if you can beat me, if you can beat me, I'll surrender. But if you don't beat me, then you're going to surrender to me. How long has your house been surrendering to a giant that's been yelling at you?
Come on, Pastor. Wow.
How long has your house been surrendering to a giant that's been yelling at you and everybody in the house afraid to cross over?
Come on.
But will there be one to get it straight? So he said, if he's able to fight and kill me, we'll become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you'll become our subjects and serve us. Then the Philistine said, this day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other. On hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and what? Terrified. So we skip down to verse 22. Verse 22 says, David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and asked his brother how they were. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. Somebody say, David heard it.
David heard it.
Whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear. Go to 26. David asked the man standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? We're going to go back to verse 25. In verse 25, it says, now the Israelites have been saying, do you see this man that keeps coming out? He comes out, defies Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his family from taxes in Israel. Go to verse 32. So David has heard, and he says to Saul, let nobody lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Go to verse 38. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic, put a coat of armor on him, and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. He said, I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off, he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Go to 45. David now begins to speak to the giant. You come against me with the sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hands. I'll strike you down, cut off your head. I'll give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All these gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into my hands. So David triumphed with the sling in verse 50. 51, he stood over him, he took the sword out, he threw it, and he killed and cut his head off with the sword. David, one thing that I love about this was David understood that something had to be done. The Bible says that that giant had been standing at them. That giant had been in their lives for 40 days and for 40 nights. That giant had been there for so long, and the only thing that the people around could do would be terrified, would be fearful. Nobody was bold enough to acknowledge that the giant is here. And the giant has been here for far too long. So David said, I done had enough. All David did was step in the room.
That's good.
And he saw how everybody was acting. He walked up to him and said, you all right? All David had to do was step in the room and figure out that something is not right about this house. Wow. And because it ain't right, he said, we're about to get to the nitty gritty of how we can make it right. And so David said, if don't nobody else in here take a stand for the Lord, if don't nobody else in here pick up boldness and put it on their shoulder, if don't nobody else in here get courage enough to say something about what you see.
Wow.
He said, I'm going to be the one that tell Goliath what he about to do.
Wow.
So David, it only took one somebody. Now mind you, there was a whole army outside. Mind you, there were people everywhere. And everybody in the camp was scared. Everybody in the camp come bust a move. But David said, man, I don't like the atmosphere. here that's over here. I don't like what the devil is doing over here. I don't like how that giant is talking over here. I don't like what he's doing to my brothers. I don't like the sound that is in the atmosphere over here. Because what that sound is doing is robbing our whole house of purpose. It's robbing our whole camp of purpose. It's robbing the whole party of our destiny. He said, I don't care what all y'all doing. But ask for me in my house. Ask for me in my house. Ask for me in my house. See, y'all can act a plum fool like y'all don't care. But when I come on the scene and if I just see that the devil is running rapid in my house, I got to take a stand. And so I love that it only took one man to make a difference for a whole country.
That's good. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. It only took one man to make a difference for a whole house. It only took one man. See, it only took one. It only took one. It only took one. See, everybody else was down for the foo-foo that the giant was bringing. They was eating off the plate, whatever the giant was serving. Everybody was down for it. Everybody was eating off of his table. But David said, I can't eat that. Because that's not serving me. And so here's some facts about the giant in your life. Y'all ready?
Yes.
Number one, you can't pretend that you don't see or know a giant is there.
That's good.
You can't pretend that God ain't been tapping you on your shoulder about an issue that you've been going through for far too long. You can't pretend that God ain't been trying to get your attention and telling you to open your eyes and see. You can't pretend, because let me tell you something, that ain't too big. It's big enough to see, it's loud enough to hear, strong enough to know, and it is even powerful enough to feel that it's contaminating your life. And so you can't walk around like you don't see it. You can't walk around like you don't know what's going on. You can't pretend like there's no elephant in the room when the elephant been there for years.
Wow.
The elephant was passed down from daddy. The elephant was passed down from mama. The elephant was passed down from cousin and sister and what had happened when you was young. You can't pretend like the giant ain't been in the room for up 10 years. And so the first thing about having a giant in your life, you got to act like you know he there. Number two, the giant gives you warning that is trying to tear your life apart. Don't ignore it. The giant will warn you that I'm trying to tear your life apart. The giant will let you know I'm trying to tear your house apart. I'm trying to tear your anointing. I'm trying to rob you of your faith. I'm trying to take away everything that God wanted for you. He said the giant will let you know I'm trying to, that's what I'm doing. See, Goliath was bold enough to say, listen, I'm over here to take charge.
That's right.
One thing about the giant was not scared to tell what his purpose was. Why is it that we in the body of Christ are scared to let a giant know who God called me to be?
Wow.
God didn't call me to be that. God called me to be this. God didn't call me to submit to a giant that wasn't submitting to my God. And so when a giant comes and tries to get me to submit to his will instead of God's will, I got to let the giant know what I'm working with. I'm working on faith. I'm working on the word. I'm working on my anointing. I'm working on the power that God has released over my life. You got to let the giant know what you're working with, because he's sure going to let you know what he's working with. Number three, the giant is yelling at you and daring you to kill it. Here's the thing about a giant. It don't believe that you're strong enough. It don't believe you're strong enough. It doesn't believe, watch this, your marriage strong enough. It doesn't believe that your job, your finances are strong enough. It doesn't believe that the relationship is strong enough. The giant is yelling at you and daring you to kill it because it does not have faith in your strength. It does not have faith that you have the mindset to win. It doesn't have faith that you have the capabilities to win. It doesn't have faith that you have the anointing to win. It doesn't have faith that you have the boldness to overcome the fear so that you can win. The giant doesn't believe that you're strong enough. That's why he's challenging you every step of the way, because he doesn't believe in you. But you got to let the giant know that it's not by your strength, but it's by the anointing and the power that God has placed on your life. Sometimes you got to let the devil know that it ain't about you. It's about the power and the anointing that's in you. I'll never forget, I tell this story all the time. My prophetic mentor was trying to pray over somebody and a demon manifested. And the demon said, "You ain't strong enough to beat me." And she looked at the demon and said, "You're right, I'll be back." Because she understood what she was working with. By the Spirit, she understood that if she was going to conquer this demon, if she was going to conquer this giant, she had to go and get some help. Come on, somebody. She had to have some prayer warriors. She had to have some people that were speaking over her life. She had to have some people that had her back. When she was weak, they were there to make her strong. And so when she went back to the giant, when she went back to the demon, and begin to pray over the woman again, the demon manifested again. She said, "Oh, but this time I bought back up." Come on, somebody. And they begin to pray. And they begin to declare the word of the Lord. And they begin to shout and say, "Devil, you have no power. You got to go in the name of Jesus." And in that instance, the woman began to get free. The demons began to flee. But it wasn't by her own power. She understood that she had to have help, but not just any help. She had to have some people that was anointed by God to speak, to pray, to declare, to decree.
Yes.
Because if that giant was going to fall, if that woman was going to be free, she had to have the right people.
Yes.
The next thing, if you don't kill it, it becomes your best friend. Oh, y'all got to understand this. Y'all got to understand that. Watch this. Mike, come here. You so tall. Come here, Mike. I'm going to show them something. You've been helping me preach a few times. So here's the thing. I got a giant that daring me to cross a line. Watch this. Michael's standing in front of me. Mike is daring me to go around him. Mike is so big and tall, he can intimidate me from thinking that I could win because of how big he is. And so if I look at Mike on the outside, I'll get scared because on the outside it look like everything falling apart. On the outside it look like I ain't got enough. On the outside it look like I ain't gonna win. And then, but if I keep looking at him and I get fearful, I get intimidated, I just get discombobulated because I don't think I got enough to be the woman. I don't think I got enough to be a man because all I can see is the outside. All I can see is the outside. All I can see is what the devil doing on the outside. All I can see. And instead of fighting and pressing my way, I'll be like, "Oh God, it's too much. I can't do this no more. Oh God, I can't do this no more. It's too big. It's too big. How can I handle something so big?" And so instead of speaking to my giant and telling the giant to go, the giant told me at the beginning, he said, "If you don't beat me, then you're going to what? Surrender to me." So instead of the giant now being in front of me, now the giant walking with me.
Wow.
Now the giant is the one telling me what to do. Why? Because I surrendered to the giant. I didn't fight the giant. I didn't defeat the giant. And so the giant telling me, "Yeah, get an attitude. Yeah, fuss him out. Cuss him out. Cuss him out. Cuss him out because they deserve it. Don't forgive them because you remember what happened when you was five. Don't forgive them. Don't forget. Walk in pride. Let them know who you are." The giant is now my best friend. Why? Because I didn't fight the giant. I surrendered to the giant. I kept looking at the outside of the giant and never knew what was on the inside of me. And so instead of fighting the giant with what was in me, I began to surrender to the giant. And so now me and the giant walking together. Now me and the giant talking together. Now me and the giant smoking together. Now we drinking together. Now we doing what we do. We commit adultery together. Now, come on, somebody.
That's good. Come on, Pastor.
Now, I got a homie. And now the giant ain't challenging me no more. Why? Because me and the giant are best friends.
Wow.
So when I move, he move. Just like that. When I move, he move. Just like that. Why? Because now he is the one helping me make my decisions. He is the one telling me what to say, how to say it, when to say it. Why? Because he don't have the things of God in mind. And then because I didn't fight him and I surrendered to him, now I'm listening to him.
Wow.
Yes. Why am I listening? Because I surrendered to him.
Wow.
If you don't fight what's trying to fight you, you're going to be walking like it, talking
wow.
like it,
so
looking like it.
Wow.
Everything, and your whole life is going to imitate the giant that you should have defeated when you were 20. The giant that you should have defeated when you was 25. The giant that you should have defeated when you was 30. Now you 45, 45, 50, whatever it is, and you still walking with the same giant.
My new book, The 40 Days of Impact Devotional for Men, is here. I'm super excited to share this book with all my men. Guys, this book was created with you in mind. Get ready for 40 days of the most impactful topics that we as men face daily, such as decision-making, character, and being the kingdom man God needs you to be. This book is loaded. Grab your copy today on Amazon, The 40-Day Impact Devotional for Men, written by me, Pastor Derek Morissette.
But here's the thing. We know how we done walk with a giant for so long. We know how to tell because we good friends now. I can say, don't say that right now. I'm going to wait till later. Like, yeah, because you know later they're going to say this. And then that's where you really go off. But don't say that right now. Suppress it right now. The giant will tell you to suppress it. And then when the giant tells you to suppress it, you become a walking time bomb. And he going to be like, now is the moment. Go off. Go off. I got your back. Go off, because we best friends. Go off. Mm. So instead of fighting him, he became my best friend. Mm. He dictated my movements. He dictated what I said, how I said it. He dictated my body language, because sometimes you ain't got to say nothing. It's your face.
That's right. That's
right. It's your body.
Yeah.
It's how you just, You know, so the giant dictates that. Thank you, Mike. Because The giant wants you to surrender. He wants you to believe that he got your back. The giant, number five, and this is a big one. A giant can cause a transference of spirit. Because you acting crazy, everybody around you acting crazy. No, y'all, this is real, right? Because everyone around you will start acting crazy because you ain't killing your giant. Watch this, when David stepped on the scene, all because the giant was there, everybody was acting crazy. Everybody was scared. The Bible said, let's go check it out. I'll go to verse 11, Pat. David's brother got an attitude with him. He stepped on the scene, like, why you out here? What's going on? Everybody's scared. Everybody terrified. Verse 11 says, on hearing the Philistines' words, Saul, this is the king now,
yeah,
Saul,
yeah.
The king, and all the Israelites, all of them. That one giant caused a spirit to spread in the camp.
Wow.
That one giant caused a spirit to spread in the house.
Wow.
That one giant caused everybody to be frustrated. Everybody to be discombobulated. That one giant, it was one giant in a whole army of Israelites. A whole camp of Israelites. Even the king, the head of all the people, became terrified and couldn't move in purpose. Why? Because the giant paralyzed. It said, all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Now we go to verse 24. We skip down. It said, whenever the Israelites saw the man, what did they do?
They fled.
They fled. Why? Because they was scared. So nobody wanted to address the real issue. And instead of addressing the real issue, everybody's scared. That spirit transferred through the whole camp. The spirit moved through the whole camp and everybody became paralyzed. Number six. Majority of the time, you are your giant. It's time to get out of your own way. How many times does God have to tell you? How many times do you need a confirmation? How many times does somebody need to say, you know what? The Lord is saying, how many times will you be your own giant and not allow God to do what he wants to do in you, through you, and for you? How many times will you be the one that hinders your own destiny? Number seven, when you kill that ungodly thing, God can release some things. I gotta say that again. When you kill the ungodly thing, God will begin to release some things. What are the things? Those things are called blessings. And it's like if you get in position, if you get the right mindset, if you get your mind right, if you get your thoughts right, if you get your actions right, you get your words right. He said, because you got in position, because you removed the ungodly thing. He said, now I'm about to release some things over your whole house. Watch this. Over your bank account, over your marriage, over your relationships. He said, why? Because you let go of the ungodly thing. Now I can release some things called blessings. Blessings in your life. But will you let go of the fear? Will you let go and say, you know what? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to get this thing right. And we're going to get in position. And we're going to do what God say, not what our emotions say. When you kill the ungodly thing, God releases some things called blessings. I'm going to take you to Deuteronomy. There's a whole chapter on blessings and curses. But I'm going to start out with just reading just a couple in Deuteronomy 28. He said, if you fully obey the Lord your God. Watch this. What does obey mean? Kill the giant. What does that obey mean? Get out your own way. Obey mean kill the generational curses. Obey me and get your mind right. Obey me and watch the words that come out of your mouth. Watch how you act. Watch how you respond. Obey me and get in alignment with what I'm telling you to do. He said, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commandments, I will give you today. The Lord your God will set you high above the nations on earth. You will be blessed in the city, blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed. The crops of your land. The young of your lifestyle. The cattle. He said, all of this will be blessed. Y'all know what we get? I'm the head and not the tail. A lender and not a borrower. Y'all know. Y'all heard that before. Y'all church folks, right? You heard that before. That came from Deuteronomy chapter 28. Because you can't. But watch this. You can't be a lender and not a borrower. You can't be the head and not the tail if you don't fully what? Oh, come on, somebody. Y'all getting this. If you don't fully obey, you can't walk around talking about, I'm a lender, not a bar. I'm above, not beneath. But that was a, did you read the before to that? That's right. Did you read the before to that? Did you understand the before scriptures before you got to that? Because there is a prerequisite for being a lender and a borrower. Amen. Not a borrower. There's a prerequisite. And so, are you obeying by killing what tried to kill you? My God. Y'all getting something?
Yes.
Y'all getting something? Listen, I got to close this thing out, but I want to give you the steps to how David beat him. Y'all ready to give me? I'm ready to give you some steps. I'm going to close this out giving you some steps. There are steps that David took. And if you take these steps, I promise you, you're going to kill your giant. Y'all hear me? You're going to kill your giant if you take certain steps. Steps that David took. Y'all ready? Number one. David heard what the giant was yelling and didn't ignore what was going on. We're going back to the original. David heard and didn't ignore it. When you make up in your mind that you're going to stop ignoring what the enemy is doing in your life, you'll conquer him. It says David left his things, ran to the battle lines, and asked his brothers how they were. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion, Gath, stepped out and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. First thing, you got to hear what the devil been doing.
Yes.
Listen to me. When your loved ones talk, can you recognize the spirit behind what they're saying?
Come on, man.
Can you recognize what spirit they're operating in? Is it a spirit of pride? Is it selfishness? Is it arrogance? Is it fear? Is it anxiety? Is it stress? Can you hear the spirit behind the man? I'm reminded when Jesus was talking to, was it Peter? And Peter was like, Jesus was saying, I gotta die, I gotta do all of this. And Jesus, and Peter was like, no, you ain't, no, ain't none of that happened. Jesus immediately, Peter, the one that he loved, immediately said, spoke to the spirit. He said, Satan, get behind me, for you do not have the plans of the Lord on your mind. So Jesus heard Peter, but he also heard the spirit that was behind Peter, and he did not allow the spirit to stop him from walking in purpose. He did not allow the spirit, which was a giant, to stop him from going forth in what God told him to do. Can you hear the spirit that's yelling at you? And if you hear the spirit, can you identify what kind of spirit it is? David understood what spirit that giant was walking in. Number two, after he heard, he analyzed the benefits of overcoming what was trying to overcome him. Oh my goodness. Listen, y'all. He heard the spirit. He saw the enemy moving. He saw the enemy trying to tear up the camp, tear up the people. He was like, okay, let me get this straight. I see this demon. I see this devil. I see this giant. He said, let me get this straight. If I defeat this giant, what's going to happen again? If we get this thing situated, what's going to happen again? There's going to be blessings. There's going to be an overflow. My marriage is going to get better. My finances is going to get better. My children are going to get blessed. Everything my hands touch, I'm going to be a lender and not a bar. But wait, what's going to happen again?
That's good.
What's going to happen? Like I don't know about you, but the benefits of conquering the devil are far greater than letting the devil conquer me. There ain't no benefit when you allow the devil to keep you stuck on stupid. Ain't no benefit in that. But when you begin to look at what's really going on, when you be like, man, is it really worth letting him contaminate my mind? Is it really worth letting him contaminate my family, my children, my marriage, what is it? Is it really worth it? Like this attitude, the frustration, the stress, is it really worth it? So if I smash this devil, if I smash this giant, what's on the other side of the smashing? What's on the other? You got to understand that when you hear it and you recognize the spirit and you come up with a strategy to smash it, you got to say, God, if I overcome, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? David asked the man in verse 26, what will be done for the man who kills the Philistine and removes this disgrace? Look at somebody and say, what's going to happen if I beat this devil? What's going to happen if I beat this devil? Because see, what it first has to happen is you got to get into your mind that you first going to beat it.
Yeah.
And how you get it in your mind, you got to get confirmed on what's going to happen. God, tell me again what's going to happen. Like, oh, he coming for my babies. Oh, if I conquer this thing, I can break the cycle of the generational curses. If I conquer this thing, my children don't have to go through this. Oh, if I conquer this thing, my marriage won't end in a divorce like my mama now. Oh, if I conquer this thing. What's going to happen again, Jesus? Like the Lord, tell me again what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because if I conquer this, the benefits is that I'm going to be blessed and not cursed. I'm going to be above and not beneath. My finances even going to go to, wait, time out. This ain't even got nothing to do with money, but if I conquer this giant, you trying to tell me I'm going to have an overflow financially?
Yes, God.
Like, my finances can go to another level.
Yeah.
David was like, man, what's going to happen?
Thank you.
He did that in verse 26. Then he did it again. He turned away to someone else. Because wanted to be sure.
Right.
He said, brought up the same man, and the man answered him, just as before.
Just as before.
What's going to happen? Man, you mean I ain't going to be stagnant and who God told me to be? You mean I can be better than my daddy? I can be better than my mama? I can, my children will rise up and call me blessed? What's going to happen? Oh, I'm ready to go to war. I ain't got this military fatigue for nothing. Oh, I'm ready to beat the head of the devil. Oh, my God, you mean to tell me that this is what I'm going to win? This is going to be my breakthrough. Let's go to war then, devil. But I gotta first hear it, then I gotta understand the benefits that if I fight, the right way,
right.
I'm gonna be blessed.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
Oh, you ain't said nothing but a word. Number three, watch this. When you get that in your mind,
yeah,
he didn't let anybody stop him.
Wow.
Watch this. He had a made up mind to defeat what was trying to defeat him. But guess who tried to stop it? Oh, this is good.
The
His own folks.
That's right.
Wow. All
right.
His own folks.
Yeah.
Pull the scripture up, Pat. His own folks.
Yeah.
It was the ones closest to him.
Yeah.
Like, I know what God said. I know what God gave me. I know. I know I'm supposed to fight this giant.
Yes.
Wow.
I know I'm supposed to win.
Wow.
When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the man, he burned with anger.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes everybody ain't ready to receive the word that God gave you.
Wow.
It may take them some time to come around, but that's okay. Let God deal with them while he deal with you. Let God deal with them while he working on you. You worry about you, boo-boo. Okay? You worry about you. Because when you stand before the throne room of God, you can't say that wife that you gave me, that husband that you gave me, the children that you gave me, that boss, man, he made me go. You can't stand before God and put that on nobody else.
Amen.
You gotta worry about you.
Right.
He ain't let nobody stop.
Amen.
His brother was jealous. His brother was mad. His brother was envious. Why you come down here? Mm-hmm. Leave the wilderness. What you leave your little sheep for? No, you conceited, you wicked. You think you all that? You think you more anointed than me?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Think you the only one here from God?
Wow.
That's good.
You ain't the only one here from God?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he had a made up mind. I don't care who it is.
Amen.
I'm going to do what God said to do.
Yeah.
Number four. After he had a made up mind, he wasn't afraid to let his people know what he was willing to fight for.
That's right.
See, I'm fighting for my marriage.
Yeah.
I'm fighting for my children. I'm fighting for my fight. What you fighting for? Are you a closed mouth don't get fed? Can you open up your mouth and say, this is what I'm fighting for? This is why I'm here? This is what the devil not going to do?
Right.
This is what I'm fighting for? David said to Saul, he said, and no one lose heart on account of this Philistine, because I'm going to be the man today.
That's right.
The obedient man, the obedient woman. I'm going to be that one today. I'm going to be that one today.
That's good.
Y'all don't want to fight? I'm going to fight. Oh. Number five, I gotta move. David acknowledged where his help would come from. A lot of times when you fight a giant can be so big. You gotta realize you can't do it in your own strength, because it's gonna take an anointing. It's gonna take a special anointing. It's gonna take a special anointing. He said, look at verse 36. His servant killed the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine would be like one of them, because at first it sounded like he was just bragging on him, right? I killed a lion, I killed the bear, and this giant, and it go down to, right? Sound like he bragging on him. But he says, this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. Watch this. The Lord who rescued me. Because look, y'all get this. Rescue means that I was losing. Listen, y'all. Rescue mean I was losing. Rescue mean that they had the best of me. He said, but because I was losing, he said, but the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. Because if it was just me, I was going to lose.
That's right.
But if I didn't include the Holy Ghost, if I didn't include the Holy Spirit, if I didn't include his anointing, if I didn't include his wisdom, his power, and his direction, I would lose too.
Yes, God.
He said, Lord, who rescued me?
Yes, God.
That's where my help came from.
Thank you, Lord.
Because it sounded like he was bringing on his anointing at first. But then he switched it.
Yes.
I couldn't have done it without the Lord.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
I couldn't have won without the Lord. Six. I'm almost done. David realized he couldn't only defeat the giant by himself. He could only defeat the giant being himself.
Wow.
Not by being someone else.
That's good. Wow.
He couldn't defeat the giant with who he was pretending to be. He had to walk in the reality of who he was.
Wow.
38, Saul dressed David in his own tunic, put a coat of armor on him, bronze helmet on his head, because Saul wanted him to be him. David said, I can't go in these. I gotta come to the Lord, and I gotta say, yo, it's me. This is who I am. I deal with pride. I deal with selfishness. I deal with arrogance. I can't pretend to be like King Saul. Because King Saul can wear all that stuff and he look cool. I got to come to you being me.
That's good.
Because if you see me, this is the me that you can use.
That's right.
But if I pretend to be Saul, you can't use me like that. You can't use me like that. You can only use me being the me that I am. And I got to be transparent with the Lord about who I am so that I can beat what's trying to beat me. See, watch this. I can't pretend like I ain't got no issue. And the giant, and somebody is saying, oh, yes, you are. You got an attitude. You was wrong. No, I wasn't. See, now you're pretending to be somebody that you thought you were. Take it off. Take it off. Take it off. And say, you know what? You was right, God. Here I am. I was rude. I was arrogant. I was a little prideful. I missed it. So now I can fight this devil. Because if I come to God and say, well, no, he made me say that. And I got any husbands and wives here that you can say, well, if you hadn't said if you had no, come to God being you. Come to God dealing with you, okay? Because you're not perfect in all your way. So you can't fight a giant with who you pretending to be. You pretending like you ain't do nothing wrong. You pretending like you ain't say nothing. You pretending. And now God can't help you fight the giant because you still pretending. You pretending. And God said, oh, what giant you finna fight? You ain't even walking in the reality of who you are.
Hey.
David said, I can't be you, Saul. I can only be me.
Amen.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord.
Whew. I mean, I got to go, y'all. I'm sorry. I'm a little over time.
Come on, it's okay.
Whew. I'm sad. You prophesied and took action. Some of us are not prophesying what you're going to do, when you're going to do it, how you're going to do it, and then do it. I decree that my house is blessed.
Yeah.
That we walk on one accord.
Yeah.
And the devil that's trying to conquer us, we're going to conquer it. We're going to walk together in the fullness of who God has called us to be. We will prosper. We will not lose. We will beat this giant. Every time he sticks his ugly head. We will hear him. We will know that it is him. And we will defeat him by the word of the Lord. The word of our testimony. See. David wasn't afraid to prophesy and then act. In 45, David said to John, you come against me with a sword and a spear. But I come against you in the name of the Lord.
Yes.
The God of the armies of Israel who you defy. He said, this day, the Lord will deliver you in my hands. I'm going to strike you down. I'm going to cut your head off. The carcasses of the Philistine army, I'm going to give your carcasses to the birds and the wild animals. And the whole world's going to know that there's a God in my marriage. Come on, somebody. There's a God in my house. There's a God over my finances. There's a God over my health, over my wealth, over my... The whole world about to know. The whole world about to know.
Thank you, Lord.
And not only did he prophesy, he acted.
That's right.
And watch this, the last thing. He used what he already had to defeat what was coming.
That's right.
The word is already in you. The Bible said that he just dug in his pocket. How many of you know that he didn't even come to the battle to use the stones?
Right.
The stones was already on him.
All right.
The stones was already on him. Took what was in his pocket. I got a phone. How can I use that? God, give me, hey Siri, give me some scriptures for when I feel depressed. Because I got a giant called depression trying to weigh on me.
Yeah.
Hey, Siri, open up the Bible. Oh, there it is. 18 Bible verses to deal with depression. And so I'm going to take what's in my pocket. And I'm going to, oh, okay, I see you. Okay, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. So I'm going to take what's in my pocket. And I'm going to remind myself that the giant of depression, giant, the Lord will go before me. The Lord will be with me. The Lord won't leave me nor forsake me. The Lord told me not to be afraid of you. So I stand declaring the word of the Lord over my mind, over my life, over my family. I'm going to take what's in my pocket. Because what I need to win is already on me. What I need to win is already in me. What I need to win, I already got it. I just ain't been using it. And so David didn't know he was coming to war with no five stones in his pocket to fight a giant. It was already on him. He didn't have to borrow nothing from Saul. All he had to do was use what was already on his life.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I just got to use what's already on me.
Thank you, Lord.
It's already on me.
Yes,
God. I just got to now take action.
Yes, Lord.
Hey, family. I hope it blessed you. Do us a favor and share this podcast with a friend or family. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts so that we can reach more people across the world. Thanks for tuning in.